Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to remember Brother Anthony and Sister Leah in prayer. They're leaving on vacation. And I want you to, you know, we're supposed to pray for one another. And I want you to remember Brother Corey and Sister Crystal in prayer this coming week. The devil's pulled something or other. I'm not sure exactly what, to try to discourage them. But I sent them a text, both of them, this morning, trying to reach out to them. And so I just let them know we're here for them. And no matter what the devil tries to pull on you, don't let it discourage you from coming to church. Because this is where you get help at. The devil wants to discourage people from coming to church because he knows what you get here. And so just remember them in prayer this week, if you would, in your prayers. And continue to remember Sister Paula, Sister Soriano's daughter in prayer. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to Scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we're thankful, Lord, for God, the mercy and grace that you've shown in our lives every day. Lord, I pray you'll be with Brother Anthony and Sister Lee as they leave on vacation, dear God. And I pray, dear God, for Corey and Crystal, dear God, you know, Lord, their need. You know what the devil has done, Lord. And I, Father, we know you are a forgiving God. You are a gracious God. And Lord, you, when we are weak, then you are strong. Lord, I pray, Father, that you will move on their hearts and send the Spirit of God. And Lord, I bind the devil with whatever he's done, dear God. And Lord, we now ask for your guidance in this service, Lord, that you will guide us through your scriptures this morning, dear God, and the word that you've placed on our hearts to be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we want to read our text from there again. And Matthew chapter 1, begin at verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Amram. And Amram begat Abinadab, and Abinadab begat Nahson. Nahson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Amen. You may be seated. We, you know, this is a story of elections, what I've called it, but, you know, it's a story of God's grace. It's a story of redemption, especially in our lesson today. And last Sunday, we covered the story of Tamar and Judah, and this morning I want to look at the story of Rahab and Salmon. And I know that in the Bible it looks just like the way we say salmon, but when you look at the Hebrew pronunciation, they pronounced it Salmon. And you don't have to turn this morning, but if you want to study on this or read on it, it's found in the book of Joshua chapter 2. And it's the story of Rahab. And we know that Joshua was coming. They were across Jordan and they were coming into the land. And they were coming up onto the city of Jericho. And Jericho was a mighty city. And it was well fortified. And the biggest thing about Jericho was that it had walls that were about 20 foot thick. And meaning they could withstand, they had built it to withstand against anything. It was supposed to be the impregnable city. And he sent two men to go and spy out in Jericho. So they were to secretly make their way as spies into the city of Jericho. And they were to bring back news to Joshua and the army of Israel concerning everything concerning Jericho. And so when they went in, why, the Bible says that they entered into the house of a harlot Rahab. And when the king of Jericho found out about, had heard wind of these two men, why, he found out they had been seen going into her house. And so he sent word to Rahab, I want those two men. It's been rumored that they've come to seek us out. And, you know, they were, by this time, they were afraid of the armies of Israel, because the armies of Israel, their fame had really spread. And the power of God, or what to them it'd be, whatever the power was surely working in their midst. And so they were very fearful. And so they wanted these two men to prevent them from carrying out their mission. And Rahab took, and instead of giving them over, she took them up onto the roof of her house and hid them under some flax, and told him to stay there until night, and that she would hide them. And she told them that, she said, now I pray that for me doing this kindness to you, that you'll show kindness to me in my house. She says, we know about you, and the men fear and tremble at the name of the army of Israel. And they're fearful of you. And says, but I want to be saved. And I want you to save my house. I want you to save my family. And so they told her that they would, their life for her life. And that she had saved their life, so they would save her life. And she was actually telling them she believed all these things. She believed what they had done about the parting of the Red Sea. She believed about what they had done to these different armies that they had come up against. And she said, all courage has fled from us. And so she told the king, the men left, I don't know whether they went. And so then when nighttime came, why, she helped them to slip out of the city. And they slipped out and went up into the mountains because the men were pursuing them. They went up into the mountains and hid themselves for a few days. And then after the pursuit was over, then they came down to where Joshua was. And they told Joshua what had happened. They told him everything about Rahab, what she had done for them, and their word promised to her. And she had let them down by a scarlet cord from her windows, how she had let them down. And so they told her, said, you bind this scarlet cord in your window, and when we come, everybody who's in your house is going to be saved. And what this was representing was the scarlet cord. It represented the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what it was representing, you know, many people want to be saved and they want their whole family to be saved. But what this is representing, all that was going to be under the blood was going to be saved. So if you want your family saved, you got to get them under the blood. Brother Branham preached that in the message of the token. The token's got to be applied. And you've got to get them under the blood. And there's only one way to get them under the blood. You can't paint blood on them. You can't mystically put something over them. You've got to get them to Christ. You've got to get them to accept this. You know, it's a pardon. But a pardon's only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon. And so if you want your family saved, you've got to get them to this. And I don't mean just, yeah, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There is a lot of people who believe he's a prophet that are going to end up in hell. That's not what it takes. Hey, look, in the Bible, it's not even believing Jesus Christ, because in the Bible it says the devils in hell believe Jesus and tremble in fear at the sound of his name. So it's not just that, but it's having something applied to your life. And the only way a person can have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their life is by coming under the message of the hour. That's what Rahab did. She came under the message of the hour. And the message of the hour was God had given the land to Israel. And so she believed this message, and she came under the message, and that by receiving, that was receiving the word. And by receiving the word, it brought her under the blood. Or the representation. Amen. And so then, but you know, Brother Branham says that she wasn't a bad person. She had something misfortunate happened that had forced her into this life that she was living as a prostitute. And Brother Branham says, and many people today, the lives that they find themselves in, they were forced into it by something. But just because something forced you into a life or something doesn't mean you got to stay there. All you got to do is believe and come free from that. Now, Rahab not only received the message, but friends, she had no intention of continuing on in the life she had been living. She didn't plan on, well, I'll come down and be a harlot in Israel too. No, she wanted to leave that life behind. So, you know, people can't just, well, I'll still smoke my pot and believe the message. I'm sorry, that can't be. You've got to be willing to leave all that. I don't plan on things I've got to say. So just how it comes out is how it comes out. And I'm not real big school, so I'm just real simple. Amen. So when the spies brought word back to Joshua, why, Brother Branham says it was great encouragement to Joshua, because she had said, we heard how the country's afraid of you, and when the Lord dried up the Red Sea and let you cross and drown Pharaoh's army and give manna out in the wilderness and bread out of heaven, and how that you put a brass serpent on a pole for atonement. He done all these things, and I know what you've done, and destroyed Og and the other kings. I seen what you did, utterly destroyed. And when we heard this, you were headed our way, we just fainted. There's no more courage left in anyone. And this encouraged Joshua. Jericho was afraid of him. Now, no doubt, you know, many of the in the camp of Israel wondered how they were going to overcome this city. And many of them maybe thought somehow they had to get inside that city in order to overthrow it. But God had a special plan in mind of how to overthrow this city. And he was going to do it by his power. And you know, the thing that they were dependent on, Jericho was dependent on for their safety, was the very thing God was going to destroy. A lot of people depend on different things of their own selves for protection. I'm going to tell you something, God destroys all that. He's your only protection. He's your only help. He is your provider. You're not your provider. We don't provide for ourselves. It's not by the labor of your hands. It's what God gives you. You say, well, I've got a job, I work. Well, God give you the job and he give you the strength to be able to work the job. And if that job dries up, he'll give you a better one. He's going to take care of you. As David said, I was once young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Now, the red always signified redemption, the scarlet cord. Now, we continue on, then we find that when they came to Jericho, we know how they marched around the city. And 7 days, each day they marched around the city, and on the seventh day they marched around it seven times. And when they did, then they blew the trumpets. And when they blew the trumpets, there was a great earthquake that happened. And that earthquake, them 20-foot thick walls couldn't stand up to this earthquake. I don't know what it registered on the Richter scale, but it was enough to shake them walls down. But not only that, it wasn't just any kind of an earthquake, just any kind of a random happening, because it shook everything down on that. Did you know that Rahab, actually her home was in the wall? And it shook down everything of that wall except where Rahab was. There wasn't one stone that moved where Rahab was under that scarlet thread. And when the men then came in to Jericho after the walls had come down, they come in to overthrow the city. While the two spies that had been sent earlier, they went up and found Rahab. And they brought her and her family down and brought them aside into the camp of Israel. Think about what she was. Think about what life she came from. How many men she must have been with over the years. That's how she made her living. Many people, we should never look down our nose at anybody. I don't care what they come from. I don't care what kind of a life they were in. We should never look down our nose at anybody. Because, friends, we weren't so holy ourselves. I don't care if we come from a religious background, we were still lost. If we'd have stayed in that religious background we came from and rejected this message, if Rahab would have rejected the message, friends, she would have died along with the rest of Jericho. But she didn't. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verse 30 and verse 31. Find all the places where it talks about Rahab. And it says in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. So it says she perished not with them that believed not. See, Jericho was afraid, but they believed that their 20-foot thick walls would be able to withstand Israel. They had no idea how Israel was going to get inside their city. That's why the king wanted those two men. He was going to kill them. Turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, look at verse 25 and 26. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, she believed, but she didn't just say she believed. She put her faith into action. She put action with her words. See, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about these people around that say, oh, no, I believe Brother Branham's prophet. Oh, I believe the message. If you believe it, you'd put them words into action. If they believed it, they'd be here. I'm not saying you got to come to this church to get saved. But I am saying you got to go to church. And you got to go where the word is. You know, there's a lot of people, they'll go here or there, you know, go to some other church, say, well, Brother Ramsey, if you can't get a loaf, take a slice. Let me tell you something. We got plenty of loaves in this day. You don't have to settle for a slice. I'll tell you something, friends. I've been in other churches. I've been in other denominations. I've visited. And I'm going to tell you something. Other than maybe just an encouraging word, that's all they got to offer. They really don't got words of life to offer. And just telling somebody how to live right and moral, it ain't enough. There's a lot of people that maybe live good moral lives. But I'm going to tell you something. Without having the Spirit of God, the Bible says that if you have that Spirit, then the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead will raise you up too. So you've got to have the same Spirit. You're not going to make it without the Holy Ghost. Rahab received the message. Because she received the message, she showed she had received the message. She didn't just receive it secretly. But she publicly displayed this cord out in her window for all to see. You imagine the other people of Jericho, what in the world she got that cord hanging from her window for? Maybe somebody come and say, why you got that cord hanging in your window? That's silly. I'm going to be saved when they come and take Jericho over. That's silly. They're not going to be able to take us over. Yeah, she might have said there was a people one time that didn't believe water was going to fall from the sky either until they drowned. But she was a Gentile. And you realize she represented in the Bible, she represented the Gentile church. We were all in a life like her. We might not have been doing exactly what she was doing naturally, but friends, there's a lot of people was doing it spiritually. I'm not just saying that myself. I read this morning Brother Branham said that. But when we heard this message, we quickly received the message. A lot of people will hear this message and say, oh, that's just another cult. I ain't following that. One day they're going to find out. Like I always say, the truth always does come out. It may take a while. It may not be to the day of judgment when the truth comes out on them. But when it comes out, they're going to know why they missed it. Because they turned down the truth. No wonder the Bible said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Not some kind of creed, not some kind of man-made ideas. And you know, she displayed that scarlet cord. You know what it showed? It showed that something had happened on the inside of that house. And Brother Adam said that represented coming under the blood. And God was always passing over the blood when it was displayed. And said when we have the blood applied to our lives, it shows something has happened on the inside. We may look the same on the outside, but that showing that token displayed shows something has changed on the inside. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When there's a change on the inside, there's always a reflection on the outside. Sooner or later. You don't have to make people change. You don't have to make them stop doing different things. If they come under the blood of Jesus Christ, friends, they'll make it. They'll make it along. They'll not have a desire for this or that, and they'll stop. Eventually, they'll begin to dress right. That's why we don't have a creed listed on our wall. You got to do this and you got to do that, and every man's got to wear a suit and every woman's got to wear this and that and the other. We don't have that. Don't get me wrong. I'll teach what the Bible teaches. But what I'm saying is, friends, anybody can come in that door. I am not going to turn nobody away. I don't care what. Let the word change them. What I'm talking about is we don't have to run around and educate them and try to change them. Let's let the word change them. What changed you?
Amen.
Problem is, a lot of people get to thinking they wasn't really quite so bad. Well, there was a man in the Bible that thought that one time. He said it about the publican. So thank God I'm not like this publican over here. And Jesus said, and the publican smote his chest and said, "Thank God, me a poor sinner, have mercy on me." He said, which one was more righteous? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not one rock fell from where that cord was hanging. It shows the protection that God has for his people. For a true believer, there's protection. No matter what state, and look at here, her being a harlot, it don't matter what state he finds you in. We're not, friends, listen, on the day the rapture takes place, we're not going to be standing there, you know, with different degrees of righteousness. Because it's not our righteousness that we're standing on, it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the same for everybody. We'll all be standing there, not one will be more righteous than another. I don't care what background you came from. I don't care how good you might have been. You're not going to be any more righteous than the worst sinner of all that's standing under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's his righteousness we stand on. Hallelujah. And you know, when they saved her, they brought her into the camp of Israel. Like I said, she didn't continue on with her life the way she had been living it. She changed. And there was a man in the camp of Israel, we already know his name, was Salmon. And what maybe you don't know was he was a prince in the house of Judah. And he was a captain in the army of Israel. And Brother Branham said she fell in love with him and he fell in love with her. Think about that. He didn't look at her and say, "I don't know what you're thinking. Ain't no way I'd touch anybody like you." That's not what Jesus thinks of us either. But he fell in love with her, and Brother Branham said there was a great romance. And he said, then finally she married him. He married her. And then when they were coming into the land, that he took her as a wife, and he settled in a region that was very fertile, a region where they could the crops would really grow, and he settled and established himself there, and he established this area.
And this area was so fertile that they could grow wheat there. And the, you know, wheat was ground to make bread. And so the place became known as a place of wheat, a place of bread for all the world. And then he named the place Bethlehem. And that was the place that Salmon established. How fitting, Brother Branham said, because Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem and he is the bread of life. But he settled there in this area, and look what had happened to her. She came from the lowest of lows to the principal and best place in the land. Brother Branham said, look at us. That's the way it does all of us. From a house of unbelief and frustrations, immoral acts and everything, to a place of position in Christ, which is most beautiful. From the ridiculous to the sublime. That's the difference it makes through our conversion. And she had a child by Salmon, whom they named Boaz. And Boaz was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was established by the house of Judah through Salmon and Rahab the harlot. Look, what a beautiful story. What she came from. How horrible a life. And people would have thought, what a horrible person. Who would do such stuff as that? And you know, friends, people that come from bad backgrounds, they don't, a lot of times, want to go around advertising what they came from. They're kind of embarrassed about it. But in the Bible, it just wouldn't leave it alone. Every time it talked about Rahab, it said the harlot Rahab. It's because it wanted to show the grace of God. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from. If you'll accept Jesus Christ and come under the blood, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Makes you a new person in Christ. Those things of the past are cut off. You'll never have to answer for that ever in your life. It's gone. It's obliterated. It has been purged by the blood. God don't even see that life. What a story of grace, redemption, mercy. Friends, I'll tell you something. Each of us, if we were given a time, we each have a story of our own life. Of the grace of God and what it done in our life. And we know what the grace of God done in our lives. Many times, you know, you sitting around here in church, you don't know always what the grace of God did in each and every individual's life that's sitting here. But we all have got a story. We've all got a story. And, you know, God, it was because he reached out to us. How beautiful. Friends, the story of your life is beautiful. What God brought you from, what he allowed, friends, what he allowed you to go through to get you to where you are. It's like that song we sung it, I think, last Sunday. He didn't have to open my eyes. He could have easily passed me by. For the age I was living in was wretched and blind. But then I heard.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then I heard. What do we hear? We heard the message. We heard the word. We heard the truth. What a horrible end. People that's come to this truth and know about this truth and are refusing to walk in it, what a horrible end they're going to come to. And I don't take any glory in saying that. I feel sorry for them. I wish there was something I could do more than what I'm doing, but there isn't. Everyone's given the opportunity to hear. Then it's up to them what they do with what they hear. And I'll tell you something, friends. The more you know, the more you got to give an answer for. There is sinners around this town that don't know nothing about this truth. And there's sinners around this town that know almost everything about this truth. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be worse on those that know and reject it. A Jewish prince taking his Gentile bride and settling in a place that later would be the exact same town that Jesus Christ himself would be born in. And you think about that. That the town of Bethlehem was established by an ancestor of Jesus Christ. But yet when it come time for Jesus to be born, there was no room for him. He had to be born in a stable. A manger. You know, they really try to beautify the whole thing about a manger. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. A manger is a feed trough. And that's what he was put in when he was born. Born in a barn. In a city that his own ancestor had established. But it was fitting. Here he was coming from a very low life and was going to ascend to the greatest height in heaven. Hallelujah. No matter, Brother Ram said, no matter what these people had done, the Spirit calling out through that righteous seed all the way down, no matter what they'd done, they were predestinated. He said, down through every one of them patriarchs, coming right down, no matter what they did, what they said, what they did, they were absolutely the seed of righteousness. When we read this in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, generation of Jesus Christ, we find these stories. Friends, why were these women, particular women, mentioned? Was because there was a story behind it that would speak to you and I. That Christ was going to take a Gentile bride. Every one of these women were Gentiles. Every one of these women either came from a bad life or done something bad. Or come from a cursed race. Amen. Think about us. Think about what we come from. You know, my mom and dad, they came to this message when I was a little boy and believed it. And I was just a little fella. I was old enough to know what was what and what was going on. But I was still just a youngster. There's a lot of things I remember, and even before I ever started in school, there's things about my life that I remember. I remember places we lived. In my mind, I can see how the floor plans was laid out in places when I was just a real young boy, before ever even starting school. And I remember what we came from. I remember being in that denomination. I remember being in the services. And I remember when we first moved up to Cleveland, Ohio, my dad, he wouldn't go back to the Church of God. But my mom was still taking me and going. The two of us went. But you know, my daddy didn't come from a family of parents that knew of this message and believed it. My mom didn't either. My mom come from a very religious family. But they were religious in the denomination. The Brownings weren't very religious people. But something got a hold of my dad's life as a young boy. Started preaching when he was 17 years old. My grandpa was a drunkard. My grandpa, he would spend his check just about before he'd get home on Friday on something to drink. My dad grew up a rough, poor life. He said the only time they ever had meat to eat, if they had it at all, was on Sunday. And they'd have chicken. And he never got his selection of what part of the chicken he was going to get to eat. That's why when he got older and he could afford it, my dad would never eat dark meat from chicken. Because that's what the only thing he ever got growing up. He said most of the time what they had to eat was beans. And I'm not talking about green beans. I'm talking about good old pinto beans. Pinto beans with a fat back or a ham hock cooked in them. And cornbread. Every day. And that's what they had to eat most of the time. I go over and I visit in these other countries, and I go amongst poor people. I sit down in homes that are so poor, and they want to offer me the best they have. And you know, when you go into their home, they want to make sure you get first choice, that you get the selection. And the women and children, they set off many times over by the wall while I sat down at the table. And they're not eating. You know why? They're waiting for me to get done. And then whatever's left is what they'll get. My dad couldn't hardly take that. He was always trying to give his food to the kids. But you got to eat because you don't want to offend them. They're giving you the best they got. You know, I went in places in Honduras, friends, and you know what their protein is every day? Eggs. Because they got chickens. And the chickens lay eggs and they have eggs. But when I would come to visit, they'd kill one of them chickens. Just to give me meat. Something that was providing for them. Oh, I'll tell you what, friends. There's a lot that the people in the United States are going to have to answer for. These other countries, they ain't got no welfare. They ain't got no food stamps. People here, they don't have to do without like the people over in these other countries. And they come from low lives. I'll tell you what, friends, they're just as righteous as anyone else in the blood of Jesus Christ. And on the day of the rapture, we're all going to be wearing the same robes. Hallelujah. No difference. That's what Jesus showed us in the Bible. We're all, you know what our clothes are going to be? Our clothes are going to be the Word of God. We're going to be clothed with the Holy Ghost. That's what we're all going to be wearing, is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. My eyes tear up and I can't see. We've got some more stories to go through here on this series, showing the grace of Almighty God. You know, as I was saying, sometimes people are embarrassed about what they come from. But God wanted it to be known. He didn't try to dress up the generations of Jesus Christ and say, well, I'll just mention Sarah, and I'll just mention Rebecca, and I'll just mention, you know, this one and that one. He doesn't even mention them at all. He mentions the ones that came from less than holy lives. He mentions the ones that came from the dregs of life. And every one of them was Gentiles. Friends, do you realize that how the Jews thought of Gentiles? Well, listen, Jesus lets it know how they thought of him when that Gentile woman came to him and he said, it's not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. That's how the Jewish people thought of him. We were a bunch of pagans. Rahab was a pagan. But she left all that behind and came to the truth. And we've left, look at all the things you've left behind in this life to come to this. Tell me one thing you left behind that you really miss. You don't miss it. And you know, we've got young people here, young families in this church, some of them raised in the message, raised with message parents. But Satan had their pull on them. Satan had their temptations to them. Lives has got scarred up.
but they're not scarred up to Jesus. Friends, you know what? How we treat one another is how we treat Jesus. Don't never bring up and throw somebody's past sins into their face. Bad things can happen to you if you do. Let that life be buried. Hid away. Buried. Many times we can testify, you know, I came from this, I came from that. But you know, there were testimonies in the camp of Israel of the children that crossed over into the land that they never disbelieved. That generation that disbelieved, they all died off before crossing into the land. There's going to be people that come out of this age with a testimony that in this dark age, I never drifted. It's not going to make them more righteous than the ones that did, because we're all under the same blood. Hallelujah. So wonderful. Let's stand. Looking forward to seeing each of you on Thursday night as we continue our studies. And just pray for me as I look into these scriptures. Lord, just guide me. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you here this morning, Lord, in this service. Lord, we have looked in this sacred book this morning at a story, Lord, where, Lord, the worst of it wasn't hid. Lord, the only women mentioned are Gentiles, a race that was considered to be a race of idol worshipers. But Lord, it was a testimony that you were going to take a Gentile bride. You were going to take a bride of a people like us. Lord, you were going to take us, Lord. God, we've got scars on our lives, many of us, Lord, from things that we've done and things we were into. But Lord, you allowed us to go through things to bring us to a day when our eyes would be opened. Sometimes, Lord, to realize what we've got, sometimes you got to make us think we've lost it. And then we'll realize what we had. Lord, like the prodigal son in the Bible, Lord, he didn't realize how good he had it. He didn't realize how great he was in his father's house until he got out there eaten by the hogs. And he said, even the servants in my father's house have bread to eat. I'll go back to my father's house. Hallelujah. He remembered, Lord, where he came from. He remembered it was better there. When all of his money was gone and the parties that he could throw was over, everybody forsook him. And he was all alone. Oh, but when he came back to the Father, Lord, the Father didn't throw in his face what he'd done. He didn't say, now look here, son, you already took your inheritance. What you doing back here? No, he welcomed him with open arms. Lord, I don't look down on anybody, no matter what they've done, no matter what maybe even they've
done to me. For Lord, I know myself, I needed your grace. I'd done wrong things. Bless your people this morning, dear God. I pray may this story that we've went over this morning just resonate in their hearts this week. We look forward, Lord, to returning on Thursday. Pray you'll be with me, God, and help me, God, as I study through the scriptures for Thursday. Bring us something, Lord, that will be a help to us. Bless your people today, Lord. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Think about